This is the Norton and Hales Cricket Club Podcast. Welcome back to part two of episode eight with special guest Jack Furnival, the Prince, the return of the Prince podcast. And in part one, we covered all things Norton, looking forward to the season, Jack's sort of introduction to cricket and sort of hopes and expectations of taking on the club captaincy ahead of the 2019 season. Now, for some of you that have been looking around social media, and if you're involved in the club, you will have noticed that the club, as part of their pre-season fundraising to help raise the facilities and equipment levels for the juniors, we've announced that on the 12th, 13th, 14th of April, that a team from the club, both playing and non-playing members and friends of the club, we'll be taking on the much maligned bucket list challenge of the Three Peaks, which will see club members leave Bearstone Road on the Friday evening, drive up to Ben Nevis, take on that summit, then travel down to Scarfell Pike, then through the night travel to Snowdon to hopefully complete the challenge in the quickest possible time. And Jack Furnival, the Prince of Norton, both before and after Ale, will be joining myself and a whole host of team members on the trip. Jack, why on earth have you signed up to the Three Peaks Challenge?
I don't know, you tell me, son. well, I missed out on the walk last year, personal reasons. This year, I've always wanted to do the Three Peaks. I just haven't really plucked up the courage to do it. But I think the raising the money for the club's the main thing, and that's the main reason I want to do it. Also, to tick it off your bucket list as well. It's just a challenge, isn't it? It'd be a good challenge for the club as a whole, and be a good challenge for myself, and be a good experience.
Yeah, it is that. I mean, I did it 18 months ago in a different circumstances with a much smaller team. Bit later on in the year, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. I definitely think it's one that you can look back and think, oh, I could have done this better, I could have done that, I could have been better prepared. But you know, some of the views, some of the time that you get to think, and you think of, you know, just how lucky, and obviously look at the reasons why you're doing the challenge, and it's definitely I'd like to say once in a lifetime moment, but given the fact that I'm doing it twice, it's kind of a bit of a weird one, really. But you're quite right. I think looking at why the club are doing it and why we want to try and do something so out there is, I suppose, more looking forward at the juniors. You're showing them that anything's possible, and you've got to sort of be willing to go beyond it, really. I mean, having looked at the sort of the challenge at the Three Peaks, which parts of it are you looking forward to, or which parts are you thinking, oh, I don't quite fancy that?
Well, I've walked Snowdon before, so I know what's in store with that one. I'm looking forward and worried about up Scotland.
Ben Nevis,
yeah. I'm excited because I've never been up to Scotland before, so that's a tick off my bucket list already. Mm-hmm. And I don't really know, I haven't much heard about the other one, but yeah, Ben Nevis is the one that I'm a bit excited for and a bit worried about for some reason.
If you want my honest opinion, having done, even though Ben Nevis is probably the more attritional walk, it's actually probably the easier one to climb, because there isn't really, other than the fact that it's the longest walk, it's not actually that difficult. If you keep turning back on yourself, for me, the biggest battle I've found is when you get out of the car on the Saturday morning and start climbing, is fighting off the midges and different things. It won't be too bad when we do it, because obviously it won't be in the heart of the summer, but it's such an attritional walk, and as long as you know you keep a steady pace, it's not too bad. The Scarfell, on the other hand, is, I would say, even though it's the shortest, it's probably the more arduous walk, if you know what I mean, because it's very steep. It's very uneven underfoot, and it's quite actually mentally disturbing because you think you've reached the top, and then it actually kind of, as you're looking from the bottom, you look, you've reached the top, and then as you get around the corners of that peak, it kind of keeps going for another sort of another third again. And it's kind of, especially if you've not really slept too well in between Ben Nevis and getting to Scarfell, it's not not that great really. So, but you know, Ben Nevis, if the clouds are on your favour, give you an amazing view of Fort William, which is a nice place in itself. It's sort of, it's just that sort of, you know, it's quite holistical if you if you appreciate the views, you know, being coming from the flat plains of Shropshire, I imagine you're looking forward to a hilly view. Okay, what training, what planning and preparation are you planning on doing for yourself for the Three Peaks? What are you doing to make sure you're in best physical peak apart from being in the Hinds?
Well, I'm running a 10K in April as well, so I'm in training for that. So I think I won't be too far off for the Three Peaks.
No, good. Which 10K are you running?
At Whitchurch.
Ah, well, there you go. A bit of pre-season training. You got Matty Lawrence rolled into that, yeah, because he seems to be king of running.
I should do
it,
shouldn't I?
Well, he won't sign up for everything else, although he did private message me and say he didn't think he was up to the Three Peaks. So, you know,
I'm calling you out, Matt Lawrence.
Well, you'd think,
Richard.
You'd think, given the fact he is Welsh, that, like, you know, he'd be galloping up them hills, like, you know, it's his natural sort of heritage and different things. He gives it Johnny Big Licks over everything else, but won't sort of sign up for that. I know I've got quite a few people from work quite interested in joining it and taking part as well and different things. So, how about your better half, Ruby? Has she signed up for the Three Peaks yet?
She is, yeah, which I'm very surprised about.
Good. We're building a decent team. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, but a couple building.
I know Simon Lyne's doing it, although I'm not sure his calves are cut out for Ben Nevis. Who else is doing it off the grapevine that you're aware? I know that your uncle Ben's pulled out.
We've got Simon Belfield's clan, haven't we? We've got I think his sister and his brother are both doing it.
And but they're cheating though, because they're from Lord of the Rings land, so they're like they're used to climbing. They'll be like walking up hills. They will for them. So that's all good news. I'm not sure who else is.
Molly Lyne's doing it.
Yeah, Molly's doing it. Been dragged up by her old man. I can't think of any else. But I know the team's growing. Last time I heard, other than your uncle Ben dropping out because, you know, his calves are made of paper. That's just kind of how it is. What are your sort of hopes for? What message would you have for anybody looking to take on or look at, that was wanting to take on the Three Peaks, but if they couldn't, wanted to sort of get out and sort of sponsor and sort of lend a hand? Or what message would you have to them about where the money's going to and what help it would give?
Well, the main thing, if they're thinking about doing it, it's a personal challenge for one, and it's also a team challenge, community challenge for the club. Also, the money's going towards our junior infrastructure, really, and facilities for them, which is, well, we all know the junior setup is ever growing, and that's the future of the club. So that's where our money needs to be based, really. And to be put forward to, and I think it's a very good cause for them. I think it is, because without them, there is no real future of the club at the end of the day in the long run.
You're quite right. I mean, obviously from the infrastructure point of view, it's vitally important, especially with safeguarding and sort of health and safety legislation. The amount of cost and demands and legislation things that the red tape that the clubs have to go through, and quite rightly so, have to go through to make these sessions safe and reliable. It takes a lot of money, and it's especially being grassroots as well, people aren't sure if they want to fully commit into a sport and different things, so it's massively important. And obviously people can get involved by either sort of popping into the club and giving some cash to the team there, or if they want to donate online, I'll make sure that in all three episodes of the podcast that link to the Just Giving accounts pages in there. So as much or as little as anybody can give would be massively, massively well received, and it's one of those things that we'd sort of look forward to, really. In terms of, because you obviously in the pre-season you've been in a lot of golf and different things. I won't mention that I bumped into you whilst enjoying a spa break. In terms of relaxation, what relaxation tips have you got? What will you be doing once you finish the Three Peaks? Because it'll take a lot out of you both mentally and physically. What are you, what are your relaxation tips?
I think I've already been milking the cows next day. So
you've been milking. Okay.
Yeah.
I will point out that's not a metaphor. Jack is a sort of milking farm manager, so he is definitely he will be up with the cows. Pardon the pun, but he'll be there. Are you sure you won't? Because obviously we'll be back. I'm hoping sort of mid early morning Sunday. Will you not be looking to frequent the hands?
Yeah. Yeah. A couple of pints in the
Iron's
Head, and then I'll probably put my feet up in front of the fire.
Best way. Best way.
Probably be it, really.
No, cool. In terms of, I've got a big question to ask you here in terms of the thing. Mm-hmm. Out of the club, who would be the one person that you would love to see do the Three Peaks, but you know they want and what you know they won't, and what reason why wouldn't they do the Three Peaks? That's a call to reality.
This is an easy one for me. Very easy. Eddie Warrington. For the reason that he would moan and moan all the way up and all the way down. And he would, well, he'd hate it from start to finish. I just know that for a certain fact, just from knowing Ed for years. So Eddie Warrington, I'm calling you out on that one as well.
Right, okay. And why would you think he wouldn't do it? What was just because he'd moan or just?
He's lazy, isn't he? We all know Ed.
Yeah, there's no friends from crew, is there?
Yeah.
It's kind of, okay.
He'd prefer to be in Fusion in Liverpool team.
We've got more chance of Jan Warrington doing it than Eddie Warrington.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
To be fair, we'd probably get more fun out of Jan doing it than Rob Eddie anyway. Okay. okay, final question this one. Robbie Layton, is he doing the Three Peaks or not?
I'm not sure about that one. He's got an injury at the moment. He's struggling with his hamstring. So he's not been playing rugby at the moment, so I doubt it highly.
Well, the way he talks about his gym work, you'd think he'd be able to do it on his hands, wouldn't you?
Yeah, he's got biggest arms in the village.
Well, to be fair, we've got a contrast between Rob and Eddie. Eddie would take about 5 strides to do every single mountain, and Rob would take 5,000. So there's a big contrast there. Cool. So just as we wrap up part two before we move into the final part of the podcast, if you would like to get involved in the Three Peaks Challenge taking part in April and you want to get involved, please, 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 if you can't take part in the Three Peaks and you can't donate, please like, share any photos, comment, have a little bit of laugh, call people out, do whatever you need to do, because every like, every share spreads the awareness of what it is that we are trying to do here at the club, and to raise funds for all the juniors, and as we've discussed on many, many of the podcasts before, to get to give kids that sort of great sporting chance and develop all those sort of life skills and communication, teamwork, leadership, all that sort of stuff. So stay tuned. We'll be back tomorrow with part three of the podcast, where we find out who is the best overseas that Jack Furnival has played with and against. See you tomorrow. This is the Norton & Hales Cricket Club Podcast.